This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. This week online, we asked you to tell us about what you've done to get by that was maybe, well, not your day job, sometimes even a little outside the lines. Carla wrote in from Indianapolis. Her family got hit pretty hard by the recession. She had to cut back on food costs, meaning no more fresh vegetables or meat from the local farmers. So Carla told one of the farmers her budget problems, and he came up with this.
Where I would work every Saturday at the farmer's market, and in exchange for that, I would get my food share. Over the winter, this past winter, I got all my meat as part of my working the winter market.
We got Carla's story from our conversation over at MarketplaceWeekend.org, where we asked what surprising things you've done to make ends meet. We're calling these stories the gray economy. Ron Lieber is the Your Money columnist at the New York Times, and he joins me to talk about them. Hey, Ron.
Hello.
What do you think about this concept of the gray economy? You know, do you see people doing this when times are tough?
I think it happens all the time. I think it happens more than we know. I think people don't always talk about it. And I think there is a vast and broad definition of gray and what constitutes a side gig. So it doesn't surprise me at all that you found lots of people doing it in a ton of different ways.
Janice is a teacher at a school on the East Coast, a boarding school. There is a big confluence of high-priced commodities, education, also low-priced stuff. She found an interesting way to substitute her income. Let's listen to that.
Hi, my name is Janice, and I'm a teacher at a boarding school here on the East Coast. At the end of every year, many of our students toss their unwanted textbooks into the dumpster, and every year I go dumpster diving to retrieve those books. At first, I would be a good Samaritan and take the books to Goodwill to be donated. But when Goodwill wouldn't accept some of them, I began selling them on Amazon. I bring in between $500 to $1,000 each summer. I live frugally throughout the year, so I spend the money on personal things for myself. With ebooks becoming so popular, my business will take a hit. They're good for the planet, but bad for my business.
That was Janice's story as read by a Marketplace employee. And Ron, what do you take away from that?
Well, there's a couple things I love about this. The first one is the recognition that there are always people out there who value their belongings and are less responsible with them than you are. You know, it's a well-known fact that if you go roaming around college campuses on exactly the right day of the year, i.e. the day that the dorms close, there will be all sorts of treasures both in those rooms that are left behind if you can find your way into those buildings or out on the curb. And it's a great opportunity to pick things up on the cheap and then go ahead and resell them. But the other thing that's cool about what she's doing is she seems to be disciplined about her spending and thinking about it throughout the year. And so for 9 months of the year, she just concentrates on her needs, and then she goes out and collects all of these things and resells them. And at that point, she allows herself to indulge in the wants with that extra $500 to $1,000 that she picks up.
Let's get to vice. I'm putting that in with a smile on my face. Our senior producer is going to tell his story, and it, well, let's just let it unfold.
My name is Dan Semitovich. I'm the senior producer for Marketplace Weekend. When I first started out in radio, it was at a station in Florida, and I started off as a part-time board operator and a very part-time producer. And that, surprisingly, does not pay a lot of money. My brother was working at the local casino as a poker dealer as a means to pay for law school. So one day I go to visit him and see what he does and just have some fun, went out with some friends, sit down at a poker table and find that I'm actually pretty good at it. I won. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I won. I kind of picked up the game fairly quickly. I go back the next week and I win again, same results. A few months later, I'm making more playing poker than I am working in public radio. It was a fad. It was a phase and it was a fun one. You know, it was action. It was the schlub wearing the sunglasses that anybody could be. And now for a short time in a small place, I was that schlub.
All right, Ron, I am so into this concept of people taking stuff that, hey, it turns out they're pretty good at and making some money on.
Well, two things about this. First of all, we don't know exactly how long Dan was doing this. So I would ask the same question of him that I ask of people who do very well picking stocks, which is another form of gambling. And the question I have for them is, how do you know whether you are lucky or whether you are smart. The other thing I would ask about this is, are you thinking about your downside risk here? Because it's one thing to go dumpster diving and not find very many good textbooks because people are all buying ebooks now. It's quite another to go to the poker tables and actually end up down a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah, that's the real downside of this. So I guess the question anybody should ask themselves before they start doing something like this is, what could I lose?
What can I afford to lose?
Ron Lieber is the Your Money columnist for The New York Times. Ron, thank you so much.
Good to be here.
For next week, we want to know about the fine print. What did those little words do? Trip you up? Maybe help you out? Join our conversation at marketplaceweekend.org or on Twitter at @MarketplaceWKND. We want you to be a part of the show.